Good morning, everyone, and welcome. I'm John Podesta, and I welcome you to this discussion of our nation's immigration policy. I was a bit tempted to start off this morning by commenting on Lou Dobbs's resignation, but we try to enforce a serious no-gloat policy here at CAP. So let me instead start by saying that CAP sees immigration policy and the integration of immigrants into our increasingly diverse nation as a key element of our progressive vision and an important step to get our economy moving again. America needs sound, practical solutions that will address our nation's economic crisis by increasing tax revenues, enforcing labor standards, and lifting wages and leveling the playing field for all workers. That can't be accomplished with a single initiative or regulation. Rather, we'll need to be working toward a comprehensive suite of policies that work in concert to do a number of things, but particularly to protect our borders effectively and accountably, doing so in consultation with border communities, to create a workable verification system to crack down on employers who exploit their labor with harsh and unfair working conditions, require undocumented workers to register and pay their taxes, and provide a path to legal status and earn citizenship for the millions of undocumented people living in our country. This plan is a pragmatic solution that recognizes the impracticalities of driving a large number of people from the United States. We must also address the devastation caused by the separation of families as they wait to immigrate legally. This year at CAP, we've continued to build upon our past work by expanding our immigration policy team. It's now headed by Angela Kelly, our Vice President for Immigration Policy and Advocacy. You'll hear from Angie, who will pose some questions to Secretary Napolitano after her formal remarks. Our team has many years of collective policy and legislative experience and is ready to work in partnership with the Obama administration and leaders on Capitol Hill to deliver reform for America's native-born and newcomers alike. We're quite honored to have President Obama's point person on immigration reform with us today, my friend, Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security, Janet Napolitano. Secretary Napolitano has been in the eye of this stormy issue as both governor of Arizona and now as a member of the president's cabinet. During her time as governor, she faced immigration challenges on literally a daily basis in a state that has vocal advocates on both sides of this difficult issue. Her advocacy for comprehensive immigration reform legislation, combined with her tough enforcement strategy and her pragmatic analyses, provided a policy framework for other political leaders in our nation to follow. When Congress proposed building a 700-mile-long wall along the U.S.-Mexico border, Secretary Napolitano predicted it would be too expensive, take too long to construct, and be ineffective once completed. She famously told the Associated Press, "You show me a 50-foot wall, and I'll show you a 51-foot ladder at the border." That's the way the border works. And when President Obama named the new secretary at DHS, he rightly noted that she offers the experience and the executive skill that we need in the next Secretary of Homeland Security. She insists on competence and accountability. She knows firsthand the need to have a partner in Washington that works well with state and local governments. She understands, as well as anyone, the danger of an unsecure border. At the time Secretary Napolitano took office, DHS stood out as the agency most in need of repair. She faced the daunting task of working around outdated rules that are inefficient and open to abuse by human traffickers, maverick sheriffs, employers, bureaucrats, and almost anyone tempted to take advantage of a broken immigration system. DHS immediately went to work to improve efficiency and balance the need to restore human dignity and civil rights while also maintaining a tough enforcement strategy against illegal immigration. In recent months, Secretary Napolitano has moved quickly, issuing new guidelines in multiple areas to begin to repair that broken system. But as we all are aware, new administrative rules alone cannot hold together a malfunctioning system. More must be done. The public demands it. Our economy will benefit from it. Last spring, during a bipartisan meeting of Senate and House members at the White House on immigration, President Obama tapped the Secretary to work with Congress to formulate comprehensive immigration reform legislation. The President couldn't have picked a better person for that task. Secretary Napolitano knows through her own work and life experience that broad reforms are needed in order to make our nation more secure, to build a stronger economy, and to have more stable communities. We look forward to hearing from the Secretary this morning about how we move forward to enact comprehensive immigration reforms. Thank you again for all joining us here this morning, and please join me in welcoming Secretary Napolitano.
Well, good morning, and thanks to John for that warm introduction. He has been a longtime friend of mine, and I very much admire the work that he has done here at the Center for American Progress to advance the national debate on a range of important issues. John and I have worked together extensively. I look forward to our continued partnership. It's not news to say that these are challenging times. From our first days in office, this new administration was called on to meet an economic and financial crisis as deep and threatening as any we've seen since the Great Depression. The President took bold and difficult steps to prevent the collapse of our financial system and reverse the ominous trends of negative growth and massive job loss. Today, thanks in no small part to the Recovery Act and other steps we have taken, the economy is growing again and job losses have slowed. But that progress is fragile, and we can't let up until all the millions who are looking for work today can find it. Yet, we know that surviving this storm isn't enough if we fail to do the things we must do to fortify the United States for the long run. That's why this administration is taking on the critical challenges that have been ignored in Washington for far too long. We are laying a new foundation for growth and prosperity that will strengthen the economy, families, and small businesses throughout the country. By tackling the issues of health insurance reform, we can bring new security and stability to families and businesses across the country. By planting the seeds of growth for a new clean energy economy, we can open the door to the creation of millions of good jobs and secure America's continued leadership in this new century. By making a serious national commitment to education reform, which means college or technical training available and accessible to every young person willing to strive for it, we can ensure their success and America's success in a world where the best educated workers and workforce will win. So even as we press to end this recession and get America back to work, we are determined to deal with long lingering problems that cloud our future. Another problem that has been punted from year to year, from Congress to Congress, from administration to administration, is the clear need for immigration reform. We all know the story. A steady influx of undocumented workers crossing our borders illegally in search of work and a better life. A market among employers willing to flout the law in order to hire cheap labor. And as a result, some 12 million people here illegally, living in the shadows, a source of pain and of conflict. It's wrong. It's an affront to every law-abiding citizen and every employer who plays by the rules. Like the administration's other priorities, when it comes to immigration, we're addressing a status quo that is simply unacceptable. Everybody recognizes that our current system isn't working and that our immigration laws need to change. America's businesses, workers, and faith-based organizations are calling for reform. Law enforcement and government at every level are asking for reform. And at the Department of Homeland Security, we need reform to do our job of enforcing the law and keeping the country secure. Over the past 10 months, we've worked to improve immigration enforcement and border security within the current legal framework. But the more we do, the more it becomes clear that the laws themselves need to be reformed. Now, let me be clear. When I talk about immigration reform, I'm referring to what I call a three-legged stool. That includes a commitment to serious and effective enforcement, improve legal flows for families and workers, and a firm but fair way to deal with those who are already here. That's the way this problem has to be solved, because we need all three aspects in a successful system. This approach has at its heart the conviction that we must demand responsibility and accountability from everyone involved in the system: immigrants, employers, and government. And that begins with fair, reliable enforcement. Now, we know that one-sided reform, as we saw in 1986, cannot succeed. During that reform effort, the enforcement part of the equation was promised, but it didn't materialize. That helped lead to our current situation, and it undermined Americans' confidence in their government's approach to this issue. That mistake cannot happen again, and it won't happen again. The American people, expect us to act. Americans value our identity as both a nation of immigrants and a nation of laws. Now, unfortunately, too many politicians and pundits have treated these values as contradictory. They are not, and we will pursue reforms that emphasize both. The immigrant story is part of what it means to be an American. But failing to fix a broken system that undermines our shared values of lawfulness and fairness is not. This is why key members of Congress are taking steps toward legislation that will create an immigration system that works. This is why the President continues to be fully committed to reforming our immigration laws, and why he asked me to take a lead role in this effort. Now, while everyone may agree that the status quo isn't working, what everyone may not be aware of is how much the immigration landscape has changed since comprehensive reform efforts failed in 2007. Now, I've been dealing hands-on with immigration issues since 1993, so trust me, I know a major shift when I see one, and what I have seen makes reform far more attainable than this time around. For starters, the security of the Southwest border has been transformed from where it was in 2007. The federal government has dedicated unprecedented resources to the Mexican border in terms of manpower, technology, and infrastructure, and it has made a real difference. Last March, the Obama administration announced a Southwest border initiative that has increased the resources the government is dedicating to combating drug cartels and the smuggled cash and illegal weapons they thrive on. The Departments of Homeland Security, Justice, and Defense have dedicated unprecedented resources to this initiative. This includes additional inspection and surveillance technology, as well as hundreds of personnel specializing in fields like inspection, intelligence, and prosecution. At DHS, we started screening 100% of southbound rail shipments for illegal weapons and cash for the first time ever. Compared to last year, seizures in all categories, drugs, smuggled cash, and illegal weapons are up dramatically. For example, just look at bulk cash. Customs and Border Protection has seized at the border more than $34 million in cash being smuggled southbound so far this year, more than four times as much as this time last year. Now, moreover, the immigration debate in 2007 happened during a period of historically high levels of illegal entry into the United States. 2 years later, because of better enforcement and the current economic circumstances, those numbers have fallen sharply. The flow has reduced significantly by more than half from the busiest years, proving we are in a much different environment than we were before. These are major differences that should change the immigration conversation. In 2007, many members of the Congress said that they could support immigration reform in the future, but only if we first made significant progress securing the border. This reflected the real concern of many Americans that the government was not really serious about enforcing the law. So fast forward to today. Many of the benchmarks these members of Congress set in 2007 have already been met. For example, the Border Patrol has increased its forces to more than 20,000 officers, and DHS has built more than 600 miles of border fencing. Both of these milestones demonstrate that we have gotten Congress's message. We've also shown that government is serious and strategic in its approach to enforcement by making changes in how we enforce the law in the interior of the country and at the worksite. We have replaced old policies that merely look tough with policies that are designed to actually be effective. We've revised and standardized our immigration enforcement agreements with state and local law enforcement to make sure that these agencies are effective force multipliers in our efforts to apprehend dangerous criminal aliens. We've expanded the Secure Communities Program, which identifies illegal aliens being booked into local jails. Yesterday, we marked the end of the first year of this program, which is being used now by 95 jurisdictions and has identified more than 111,000 criminal aliens for removal. Furthermore, we've transformed worksite enforcement to truly address the demand side of illegal immigration. We are auditing the books of thousands of employers suspected of relying on illegal labor to achieve an unfair advantage in the workplace. As part of this effort, Immigration and Customs Enforcement audited more employers suspected of hiring illegal labor in a single day in July than had been audited in all of 2008. We're also encouraging workplace compliance by expanding and improving the E-Verify system, an internet-based system that allows participating employers to electronically verify the employment eligibility of new hires. More than 167,000 employers at 639,000 work sites now use E-Verify. In the past month, the program has grown at the rate of nearly 2,000 employers per week. Improved interior and worksite enforcement is a critical part of comprehensive immigration reform. We've demonstrated that when it comes to this issue, this administration is committed to action. Now, in addition, recent improvements at managing the legal immigration system also prove that the federal government is ready to handle major reform. We've ended a year-long backlog for background checks on applicants for green cards and naturalization. We've expanded the opportunity for a widow to gain legal status here despite the untimely death of her U.S. citizen spouse. We've launched a new interactive website that allows people to receive information about the status of their immigration cases by email or by text message, and we've reduced the time it takes to process these cases. In addition to these changes, since 2007, we have made significant strides in technology. For example, new biometric technology allows us to take the fingerprints of people coming into the United States and compare their prints against databases that we couldn't access before. This means that we have new and enhanced abilities to quickly identify people committing immigration fraud, either by using someone else's documents or by forging documents to escape detection for a past crime or immigration violation. We've also enhanced our capacity to exclude those suspected of supporting terrorism or other serious international crimes before they enter our country. Overall, these and other changes make comprehensive immigration reform more attainable, both as a matter of politics and as a matter of policy. At the border, in the interior of the country, and when it comes to legal immigration, the government has made significant strides to improve enforcement. This is a fundamental change from 2007. Now, here's the other thing that has shifted in this debate. A larger segment of the American public has embraced the need to engage this debate and arrive at a sensible solution to this problem. CAP has helped to document this shift. There are leaders of the law enforcement community speaking out, saying that immigration reform is vital to their ability to do their jobs, keeping Americans safe. Faith leaders, including the National Association of Evangelicals, have announced their support for immigration reform as a moral and practical issue. We're seeing more business leaders and more labor leaders engage in this debate in a constructive way than we've ever seen before. These constituencies have all arrived at the same conclusion that prevails among the American people. This is a problem that needs to be fixed, and the best way to ensure that we can uphold our laws is to make sure our laws are rational and enforceable. Now, that reality is very apparent to us at DHS. Over the past year, as this administration has pursued more effective strategies within the current laws, the picture of how exactly those laws need to be changed has become clearer than ever before. In the past 10 months, we've made tough choices and implemented significant reforms within the current legal framework, but they are not enough to create the system that we want or that we need. If we are truly going to fix a broken system, Congress will have to act. And when it comes to immigration, I took an oath as Secretary of Homeland Security to secure the nation by enforcing the law and managing legal flows across the border. Let me be clear. To do this as effectively as possible, DHS needs immigration reform. Reform legislation would provide lasting and dedicated resources at our borders, provide some critical legal tools that we don't currently have to combat smuggling organizations. For example, we need tougher anti-smuggling laws in dealing with the aggravated crimes smugglers commit, including assaulting law enforcement officers, endangering children, threatening relatives, and abandoning people in the desert, hundreds of whom succumb to death from heat and lack of water. We also need to update the current laws that don't cover some of the new means by which criminals conduct their business. For instance, today's smugglers and drug traffickers often move cash through stored value cards, which aren't even considered monetary instruments under the current money smuggling laws. In addition, we need improvements to the current law when it comes to interior and worksite enforcement. Dishonest businesses often ignore the civil fines for illegal employment now on the books because they're so low. It's also very difficult to prosecute these crimes as felonies because of the over-elaborate intent requirements built into the current statutes. Moreover, some current laws covering immigration-related fraud have to be brought more in line with common sense. Right now, a corrupt immigration attorney who facilitates hundreds of immigration violations by knowingly helping aliens fraudulently seek asylum or permanent residence is treated almost the same as a single alien who buys a single fake green card. On top of this, in order to have a fully effective law enforcement system, we need Congress to create the legal foundation for bringing the millions of illegal immigrants in this country out of the shadows, require them to register and pay all taxes they owe, enforce the penalties they will have to pay as part of earning legal status. Let me emphasize this. We will never have a fully effective law enforcement or national security system as long as so many millions remain in our country in the shadows. Making sure these people become full taxpayers, pay their fair share, will both benefit our economy and make it easier to enforce the laws against unscrupulous or exploitative employers. A tough pathway to earn legal status will mandate that illegal immigrants meet a number of requirements, including registering, paying a fine, passing a criminal background check, fully paying all taxes, and learning English. These are substantial requirements that will make sure this population gets right with the law. It will help fix our system. And while it's important to emphasize the need for immigration reform from an enforcement perspective, the need for reform stretches far beyond these reasons. We have to make sure the immigration system works to support American families, businesses, and workers. As part of the administration's outreach on this issue, my department has held stakeholder meetings with more than 1,000 people and organizations across the country. The businesses, community leaders, labor leaders, faith groups, and law enforcement we've met with all have different stories, but they all reach the same conclusion. We need reform. The reform will be part of a new foundation for growth, prosperity, and security that this administration is working to create. Our system must be strong enough to prevent illegal entry and to get criminal aliens off our streets and out of our country. But it must also be smart enough to reward the hard work and entrepreneurial spirit that immigrants have always brought to America, traits that have helped build our nation. Requiring illegal immigrants to register to earn legal status, as I discussed earlier, will strengthen our economy as these immigrants become full-paying taxpayers. As labor leaders have made clear to me, immigration reform will be a boon to American workers. Think about it. Unions will never achieve the best terms for workers when a large part of the workforce is illegal and operates in a shadow economy. By contrast, the status quo not only hurts American workers, it also stifles potential opportunities to grow our economy. Now, a few months ago, I held a forum where I heard from technology executives in Silicon Valley, our country's center of technological innovation. They told me that they want to increase their workforce and help get the economy moving again. But some of the major barriers they have to growing their companies are visa laws that make it difficult for high-skilled foreigners to stay here to work. Today, we have a system where America educates many of the brightest individuals from around the world and then tells them to leave the country, where many of them would rather start their own ventures or strengthen their businesses right here in the United States. This hurts the economy for all of us, and it has to change. Going forward, our visa policies must work for every sector of our economy and across the income scale. Now, in my meetings, agriculture, leaders in agriculture, service industries, and other fields have told me that the current visa policies are hindering the growth of businesses looking to expand. To address this economic need, we need carefully crafted programs that allow American businesses to hire needed foreign workers while protecting the labor and health and safety rights of all workers. We need to revise our current provisions for legal migration to help assure a legal workforce in cases where businesses can't find Americans to fill their jobs. These changes will make our economy stronger and more prosperous at all levels. Community and faith leaders have also emphasized to me that we need reform because of how difficult the current laws can be on families, especially families of mixed legal status. Our immigration system is outdated where families are concerned. We need to modernize and streamline the laws governing this process. No one should have to wait in line for years in order to reunite with a spouse or with a child. And we must protect the families of our men and women in the armed forces, some of whom volunteer to serve this country before they even become naturalized citizens. These individuals risk their lives to ensure the safety of all Americans. We have a duty to ensure that their families are treated with dignity when their soldiers return from combat. Now, I've had the honor of administering the oath of citizenship to active duty personnel who have been serving our country long before I swore them in. These men and women are a reminder, as the President told them on the day of their swearing in, that America is not just a collection of rights, but it's also a set of responsibilities. It depends on each of us doing our part. So we all have to be part of a system, and we all have to do our part to have a system that works. At the end of the day, when it comes to immigration, people need to be able to trust the system. Americans need to know that their government is committed to enforcing the law and securing the border, and that it takes this responsibility seriously. Law enforcement needs to have better legal tools and the necessary resources to deal with border-related and immigration-related crime. Businesses must be able to find the workers they need here in America rather than having to move overseas. And immigrants need to be able to plan their lives. They need to know that once we reform the laws, we're going to have a system that works and that the contours of our immigration laws will last. They need to know that they will have as many responsibilities as they have rights. The President is committed to this issue. because the need for immigration reform is so clear. This administration does not shy away from taking on the big challenges of the 21st century, challenges that have been ignored too long and that hurt our families and our businesses. When Congress is ready to act, we will be ready to support them. And as I said earlier, we are both a nation of immigrants and a nation of laws. This is ingrained in our national character. It's helped make America the great nation that it is. But we must modernize our laws for the 21st century so that this vision can endure. This is a task that is critical, it's attainable, and that we are fully committed to fulfilling. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Secretary Napolitano. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here. I'm Angela Kelly, CAPS Vice President for Immigration Policy and Advocacy. And as your hostess, I'm going to take the prerogative and ask you just a couple questions.
Go ahead.
Really, the policy and politics of this issue, which is at the DNA, if you will, of CAP. And so on the policy, Secretary Napolitano, you are our nation's top cop. You know better than anyone what's needed from an enforcement perspective and a security perspective at our nation's borders, right, to make us truly secure. So paint for me a picture of what happens if we don't get immigration reform and we don't see the vision that you just laid out realized. So that's the policy question. And then on the politics, as you just finished saying, the administration has a very ambitious agenda. Its commitment to this issue is real, but is it realistic? And how do you see it being realized?
Well, thank you for those easy questions. Securing the border requires technology that continues to improve. It requires manpower. It requires infrastructure, particularly near some of the urban areas along the border. But you have to have a system that also permits legal immigration, because otherwise the incentives are always the reverse. And the incentives are very cruel incentives. The incentive is to undertake a very expensive and dangerous crossing between the ports of entry. Now, we have, I think, attained basically control between those ports of entry. We need to have better laws that allow us to go after the smugglers who are making money out of this deal, better laws to make sure that employers aren't creating that constant demand for workers to cross through the desert. And if we don't have those laws, particularly when the economy begins to rebound, what I fear is that we will see another wave of illegal immigration despite the massive law enforcement resources that are at the border. Now, in terms of the whether this is doable in the Congress, I've talked to and I've spent a lot of time talking to members of Congress over the past months, individually and collectively. They all recognize that this is an issue that's not going away, and that without a solid immigration policy that's modernized for the 21st century, that provides the enforcement tools we need, that helps us streamline the legalization process, and that deals firmly and realistically with those already in the country, that we have a tremendous Achilles heel. We have an Achilles heel economically, also on a security basis. Now, how do we get that done? Well, I think there are members of the Congress and in the leadership who are working even now on potential legislation. We are providing technical assistance for them. And I think the hope is that when we get into the first part of 2010, that we will see legislation begin to move.
Terrific. Well, we look forward to that. All right, I'll open it up for questions. First question in the front row there. Please identify yourself.
Sure. Dina Bunis from the Orange County Register. Sheriff Joe Arpaio from Mariposa has been making a lot of comments lately about the fact that he will continue to enforce immigration laws the way he sees fit in his county, regardless of what ICE and DHS says. You obviously have had a long history with the sheriff, and I'm wondering what you think about that, what your plans are to to, if anything, do something about what he's been saying, and in general talk a little bit about local law enforcement and the relationship to ICE.
Right. First of all, I'm not here to curtail any sheriff's First Amendment rights to say whatever they want to say. But this gets into the whole issue of how we incorporate state and local law enforcement into an immigration system. That's why yesterday was such a significant day, because we celebrated the first year of Secure Communities. And what that is a system where when someone is actually booked into a jail, their criminal database, their criminal history is checked, and their immigration history is checked simultaneously. We now have that inserted, as I said, in 95 jurisdictions. Our goal is within a few years to have it available to every single law enforcement department in the country. And our focus is and our priority is on those who have crossed illegally and are committing crimes and are endangering the public safety of our streets and our communities. And so our immigration strategy has been to prioritize those who are out there endangering the public safety, and then to deal with others who are here who may not be endangering the public safety, but to have a more effective worksite enforcement strategy for those who come over to work.
If I could just follow up.
Sure.
The sheriff is saying he's going to continue to do the kind of raids that your department has said he shouldn't be doing. Is there anything that you're going to do to prevent that from continuing?
Well, he's the Department of Justice is actually looking at those raids from a civil rights perspective, I think it's fair to say that I do not believe that raids are the most effective way to conduct law enforcement, except from a media perspective. But if you're really focusing on really a criminal alien removal program, which is what we're doing, and you're really focused on public safety, There are other things that you can and should be doing. He is acting under Arizona state law, not under federal law at this point. He has an agreement with the Department of Homeland Security, but that is only with respect to identifying illegal aliens that are in his jail.
Hi, Madam Secretary. Fernando Pizarro, Univision. You just said, I want to follow up on Angie's question. You just said, talked about the legislation in the first part of 2010, but the administration has a lot of things pending. And obviously, healthcare reform may not meet the deadline of the end of the year, and then there comes climate change and other things. How does the administration see this not only just getting introduced, but debated and voted on before the 2010 elections?
Well, I think that's more appropriately addressed to the leaders of the Congress, but they have understand the need to move this, and unlike some of the other issues on immigration, a lot of these things have been included in prior bills in 2006 and 2007. The issues are very familiar to the members. Now, what we hope to add to the mix are some new solutions, particularly on how you go about dealing with future flows and how you go about bringing the millions who are in the country illegally out of the shadows and have a serious process by which they are registered, you know who they are, they pay a fine, and the like. And that is the kind of assistance we are providing to the congressional leaders who are going to take charge of the bill. The administration has a heavy agenda. This country has big issues before it. It is not time to sit back and relax. It is time to get health care done. It is moving forward. A huge issue that has been debated since 1912, really, when you think about it, Teddy Roosevelt. The Congress is closer than ever before to moving us to a fair health care system that makes economic sense as well as meets our promises to the American people. But this administration is perfectly capable of multitasking, which is what we are doing, and working with the Congress, which has proven that it too can focus on many important issues simultaneously.
Thank you, Fernando. Yes, ma'am.
Peggy Archowski, I'm with the Hispanic Outlook magazine. I've done several stories on the frustration of minority engineers, blacks and Hispanics particularly, to get places in university research programs, but also to get jobs. And there was a hearing on with Microsoft at one point, and several of the minority legislators in the Judiciary Subcommittee were saying, yes, you give a lot of money to help kids with math and science, but you never recruit at minority universities. And I know a lot of American engineers are saying they're not getting jobs, whereas the H-1Bs are. So there seems to be a problem with enforcing this, the regulation that the companies have to prove they cannot find an American first. And is there any issues within the Homeland Security to increase that kind of enforcement?
Well, we're obviously always are looking at to enforce the current visa laws, but I think your question presents a false dichotomy. I think there's enough engineering jobs for everybody. I mean, this is the 21st century. This is the century of technology and technological innovation. I think what Secretary Duncan is doing over at the Department of Education is to make sure that more American students increase their capacity in math and science, and higher education for American students produces more American citizens who have engineering and like degrees. But at the same time, there's also room for those who we have educated American universities to stay here rather than move outside the country and use their entrepreneurial and their skills outside the country. So in my view, we have to get past this notion that it's one or the other. It really is both.
All right, thank you. Suzanne.
You could identify yourself, Suzanne.
Suzanne Gamboa from AP. You mentioned the visa issue, needing more organization in visas, and I'm wondering if you're recommending the idea of a commission to oversee issues of visas, an idea that's been endorsed, I think, by Labor. And also you mentioned a tougher path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. I wonder, are there things that were not proposed in the past that you're recommending that be put out there to be achieved to get citizenship?
Right. I think on the future flows issue in terms of your first part of your question, that is something that is being looked at legislatively. And the commission is only one of several options that I think are being looked at legislatively. With respect to the measures to bring people out of the shadows, I think one of the real differences in this year, in 2010 versus 2007, is in 2007 they never really had the opportunity to work through technically what it would take to actually register, collect a fine, make sure people have paid their back taxes and speak English before they can apply and earn the right to come into a citizenship line. A key difference is that we are now in the process at our department working through those technical options so that when there's a bill or Congress begins to consider immigration legislation, those questions can be answered.
Okay, good. We just have time for one or two more questions. Gentlemen.
Ben Johnson with the American Immigration Council. We talk a lot about undocumented immigrants and smugglers, but some of these criminal aliens really are long-time permanent residents who have committed relatively minor crimes. So, you know, aggravated felony under immigration law, for instance, includes shoplifting and petty theft. And they enter a system of the immigration courts that's been criticized by many people to be very lacking in due process issues and access to counsel. Are these kinds of things on your radar screen? Do you think that there's a chance that the legislation might restore some proportionality and fairness to those people?
I think some of those issues are being looked at by those in the Congress that are looking at such legislation. Whether they, in fact, will be included in a package, it's too soon to tell.
Okay, last question, the gentleman in the corner.
Thank you. Secretary Napolitano, Walter Shapiro from Politics Daily. Two-part question, which is, number one, while you said the timing of legislation is up to the Congress, by your coming here today, does it mean, is this a signal that the immigration push from the administration has started today? And the second part is, would you accept legislation in 2010 that merely updated the law enforcement issues you raised in your speech and put the more controversial aspects of a path to citizenship off until 2011?
The answer to your first question is no, the immigration push did not begin today. It actually began months ago. What is the point of today and why I'm here today is to lay out for you what the administration is seeking and where and how we see the whole problem, and that leads into your second question. Look, from a law enforcement perspective, when you have people in the country whose legal status is unclear, what happens is it dilutes your ability to focus on those who are endangering public safety. It crowds courts, it creates a whole uncompetitive layer of the workforce that is difficult to regulate. And you talk to police chiefs, and what they'll tell you is, look. We're supposed to protect safety on the streets. We have crime victims who are here illegally. They won't come forward, so we can't get to the bad guy who's really doing the smuggling, holding people hostage, the kidnapper, and all the rest. And so our view is that if you really want to deal with immigration, in a Congress, where, as an earlier question mentioned, there are other issues, it is best to take up the whole problem, the whole system. This has been allowed to fester for far too long. We can fix this. This is a fixable problem. And this administration is committed to fixing this problem. And then the country can move forward. So we look forward to a program, a bill, legislation out of the Congress that really honestly and completely deals with the whole immigration issue. Okay? Thank you all very much.
Thank you very much. A round of applause, and if you could just remain seated for a moment.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone.